So this morning, I'd like to talk about something that ails us all. Something that, whether we like to admit it or not, we have all experienced. What I'm talking about is fear. Have you ever been gripped by fear? And I'm not talking about, oh, there's a cockroach. Well, granted, if that was me, I would be gripped by fear if there was a cockroach on the floor. But I'm talking about the really sincere type of fear that just terrifies you to your bones. That type of fear that, whether it's from a memory or it's from a very physical stimuli that's right in front of you, that just takes you captive and holds you as though you can't move. It holds you in such a way that you can hardly even think. In my youth group years, long, long time ago, when I had less experience but more hair, we had a youth group minister that he actually worked out and lived at a ranch here in Christovo. I couldn't even tell you where it was, but I remember going out there quite often for devotionals. And some of you may have heard this story, but whenever we'd go out there, we really enjoyed going out. And at the very beginning, you get to go through the gates, and he had this herd of scare goats. Raise of hands, how many of you know what a scare goat is? Yeah, okay, so we got a few of you, right. So these scare goats, they were very fun and interesting to enjoy as a teen. And so, of course, whenever we would first drive in, we would drive in and everybody would roll down the windows, whoever it was that was coming in, and you'd either honk or you'd yell. Because these scare goats, if they get scared, they might try to run off, but immediately they're seized by fear. The way they're bred, they automatically go into this fight or flight mode. Instead, they freeze. So they lock up, their legs lock up, and they'll be running and then tip over, just like that. Well, one time we had gone in and, we honked and we yelled at them just to kind of get a rise out of them. And they're running along and everybody, and so of course we're laughing and it's really funny, poor goats at our expense. But anyways, long story short, we go out and we have this devotional, and on our way out, all the goats were kind of meandering around as they normally would. And we don't usually scare them again because we probably got in trouble by our youth minister for doing it again in the first place. And we noticed that there was one goat that had been terrified, so much so that he had flipped over into the feeding trough and was upside down in the food with his legs up in the air. But it's okay. It's okay. He made the best of it. Because here he was with his legs up in the air, and he was just eating, just like that. He made the best of a very bad situation. But it was interesting to see how these goats freeze up like that. And it's a very exaggerated example of sometimes how our lives go, how our experiences are in life. When we get seized up by fear and emotion, when sometimes we want to do something, maybe it's for God or maybe it's for ourselves or for our family, but we are so afraid or we are so overridden by emotion that we can't even accomplish that. Or even we might do something opposite of that. We sometimes, although we have nothing to fear, we still run or simply lose our bearings, and that fear rushes in. So we're going to use a quick example. So everybody's got a hand, right? Okay. So go ahead and raise your hand up. You don't have to raise it up high. Just put it up. We're going to use this model. Okay. So this is your brain. Okay. So go ahead and put your thumb in just like that. So as we're looking at the brain, we see that right here, your wrist would symbolize your spinal cord, okay? So your spinal cord, it goes up into the limbic system, which is right here. And right in here, you have a lot of your adrenaline and your reactions, your fight or flight kind of reactions, those natural processes that in science class they teach you kind of came from evolution and things of that nature. But nonetheless, something that is God-given that gives us an ability to survive. So now, take your fingers and fold them over just like that. Okay? So we have, as you said, your spinal cord, your limbic system underneath that we just covered up. And over the top of your brain, right here, is your cortex. Right up here in the front part, which would be right behind your eyeballs, is your prefrontal cortex. And as I mentioned, it's covering up that limbic system, right? That fight or flight, that thing that the goats kind of got seized up by as they tried to run. Well, this prefrontal cortex in human beings, it regulates all of those things from the limbic system. So you can go ahead and put your hands down. But we'll, if you think about it, and we're talking a little bit later, you can think about what that model looks like and what your brain is. So if we look at the brain, we're looking at that prefrontal cortex, and we understand that through neuroscience, this front part of your brain helps regulate those things. But whenever we're introduced to fear, whether it be by previous experiences, such as your memories that are ignited by a current experience, or we're introduced to fear because, say, a rattlesnake is right in front of you or a bull is running at you and you made a bad decision to go to Spain and go to the running of the bulls. But guess what part gets overridden and overwhelms the prefrontal cortex? This part does. So if you've ever heard the term flipping your lid, you've just flipped your lid, right? Because your ability to regulate these processes, to logically think, to express your emotions, to express your feelings, have just gone off. So as people say, you flip your lid, well, your prefrontal cortex is no longer in control over the rest of your body. Your ability to reason. So oftentimes, it is through this process, whenever we flip our lid, that we might say things like, well, I didn't really mean what I said. Well, I know I shouldn't have done that. You might even hurt somebody who you love very dearly by saying some very hurtful words. And it is through these regions of the brain that we get all of these processes that, as I said, not only help us survive, but they make us who we are as human beings because we have that ability to regulate. But it can be overwhelmed by the experiences that we go through in the heat of the moment. Fear is a very complex reaction. In fact, it encompasses various types of reactions that we have in everyday life. Sometimes our fear is manifested in anger, sadness, or apathy even. When we are controlled by our fears, if you're taking notes, jot this down. When we are controlled by our fears, fear can mean a particular acronym for us. Someone once said, fear can stand for forget everything and run. We are faced with something that scares us and we forget about what we wanted to do and we turn tail and we run. It doesn't matter what we thought we were going to do. Instead, we're off to the races. And when we are so overwhelmed by fear, we can turn from the very things we know that are right, that are moral, that might even be our calling for God. Other times, fear can cause us to freeze, such as those scare goats, and do nothing, even though we know we should, even though we know it's right, even though we know God is telling us to. However fear affects you in your life and your experiences, I want you to know that you're not the only one. We all experience this. And be that as it may, I want you to think about, as we go through today's message and God's word, How can we turn this fear from forget everything and run to face everything and rise? Turn with me to a very familiar story in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at the story of Jonah. And we'll just be taking a quick glance at the very beginning of Jonah. So if you've got your Bibles or your iPads or iPhones, whatever it may be, go and turn over to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish." Here's the funny part. "From the presence of the Lord." You heard that right. Jonah seemed to think that he was running from the presence of the Lord. And I'm not sure what he was afraid of, but he sure did act out the acronym FEAR, didn't he? He forgot everything he knew as a prophet of God, and he ran. He turned tail and he ran. As a prophet, it's clear that he's human too. That maybe he had flipped his lid and that prefrontal cortex was no longer helping him think logically. Don't you think that Jonah knew God would see him? Don't you think Jonah knew that no matter where he went, God would know that he was there? Don't you think Jonah knew that even God knows our hearts, no matter where we try to run? He knows what's deep down inside. But instead, his emotions got the best of him. And instead of rising to go to Nineveh, as God had asked him to do, he fled. So if we were to read the rest of the story, as they say, we would see that Jonah flees and he jumps aboard a ship. And incidentally, even with all his emotions so high and making him run away from God, he ends up falling asleep on this ship. And a big storm comes along. Now, this isn't just your average storm. This is probably like a West Texas style storm, with lots of thunder and lightning. And of course, they're out on this ocean and the waters are turbulent and they're throwing them back and forth. And during ancient times, deities would have been very commonplace. In other words, people from everywhere believed in these higher powers, little g gods, if you will. So as you might imagine, along with Jonah on this boat, there was these other people, these other men who believed in its higher powers, these little g gods. And so they used these things to explain things that were kind of unexplainable for them. And despite the fact that they were not the true God, they often looked to them when things got difficult. And naturally, the crew of the ship scrambles as they see their life flash before their eyes. And they begin to wonder, through which of their gods had this come upon them? This great storm and the threat of their life. And so they begin to ask everyone and they search through the ship. And they finally come to Jonah and they realize that Jonah worships the God of the Hebrews. Now, this is very telling in this story, because when they find out that Jonah worships that God, well, it calls their attention. Because the God of Hebrews, had already gained some notoriety amongst these people. Whether they believed in the true God Yahweh or not, they knew that this God was very present and very powerful. And so when they found this out about Jonah, well, they decided to do something. And at least they were remorseful about it. But as the story goes, they threw him overboard. They threw Jonah off of the ship. And can you believe it when I say this is the best thing that could have happened to Jonah? This is the best thing that could have happened in this time where he had fearfully ran from God and allowed his emotions to overwhelm his thought process. So if you're following along, go ahead and jump down to Jonah chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord." So now he wants to talk to the Lord. Now he wants to see where he's at. "From the stomach of the fish. And he said, 'I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompasses me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord.' And then the Lord commanded the fish, and as my translation says, it vomited Jonah up onto dry land." So Jonah finally gets things straight in his head. And he finally calls upon the Lord. And interestingly enough, correlates to our story of the fainting goats. Because he says, "While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord." Jonah was able to take a time out. If you've got kids and you know how useful a timeout can be when things get overwhelming, when things get difficult. If you've got babies, you'll soon find out. When we become overwhelmed with emotion, with fear, whatever manifestation of that it might be, sometimes we just need a timeout. And God gave that to Jonah. Because when we lose our capacity to reason and to think logically, we're either driven to find a safe place or we're driven to defeat that which is threatening us. So, going back to our model, our lid has flipped, right? In order to get that lid back on, we have to give our bodies and our brains a time out. A moment to reevaluate. And if it's something that is due to a trauma of the past, or a memory of something that really troubles you, you've got to find peace. You've got to find space to put that lid back on. Perhaps it's in the belly of a fish. But for most of you, I hope that's not the case. For Jonah, it was. And his prayer time came there. His time out came there. You don't have to go to such great lengths. You can simply take your own time out to pray, to relax, whether it be in a closet or on your favorite couch. Maybe some of you have got a football recliner. I do. I haven't got to use it very much. But whatever that place is, pick that place. And this is very key to finding peace. The key is to find a place that's secluded from what threatens you, to remind you that God is in control. So as a side note, next time you get into an argument, either with your spouse or your children, or a friend or a boss, and you've had the proverbial lid-flipping situation, allow yourself to take some time to reorganize your thoughts and be intentional about taking that time out. For those of us that believe in the power of God, take time to pray with Him, to share with Him your fears, your emotions, because it's through that process that we can turn our fear from forget everything and run to face everything and rise. Not only can we face our fears and rise against the things that disable us to do God's will, but as a matter of fact, we can face death and rise to new life in Christ. Jesus parallels this very story of Jonah. He says in Matthew 12:39-41, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it, but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." He says to his audience, "I am greater than Jonah, and I have brought a gospel message that will allow you to overcome anything in this world." That, as 1 John says, allows us to overcome the world. This faith that we have in Christ. Because you will have fears that destabilize even the most routine of activities in your life. For those with more life experience, I'm sure you've had that happen already. Might even cause you to sin in your anger. Perceived threats can turn into real trouble when we fail to recognize the signs of our emotional responses. And similar to Jonah, these responses can have eternal significance, not only for our lives, but for the lives of countless others. Because God has called you to spread His message. God has called you to do what's right. Don't allow fear to cause you to run. Put your faith in Christ, and instead turn that fear into something that causes you to rise and overcome. I thank God that Jonah had time to regain his higher functioning of reasoning and thought. The Ninevites, I'm sure, are eternally grateful for this. We too are thankful for the time that Jesus Christ spent in His death, burial, and resurrection in the heart of the earth, as that was what was needed for our salvation. to wake us up to our calling and the new life that we've received. Do you know this life? Do you share this life? Does it offer eternal peace? Have you offered that eternal peace to others? If not, and you're ready to be transformed by this wonderful message, this gospel message that Jesus Christ brings, and overcome any and every fear and emotional reaction that you could ever imagine, I ask that you come forward today as we stand and sing.